Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine, mine, mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine. Yes, love is mine. Oh, love is mine. Love is mine. Love today is mine, mine, mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Oh, love today is mine. Oh, when I woke up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. And I rose up shouting and praising victory. Let's sing that again. Well, when I woke up this morning, I didn't have a doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. So I got down on my knees. I said, Lord, if you please. I rise up shouting victory. Oh, victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine, mine, mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Amen. Give the Lord a heck of a praise this morning. Amen. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. He's woke us up, brought us for another service. Amen. Just to praise and to worship him this morning. Amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them it's good to see him in the house of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Let's play a little more of that this morning. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Amen. Go ahead and praise him this morning. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. As we read the prayer request to you, want to remember Brother Eric Krause turned in a request. Please remember his nephew Hunter fighting cancer. Also remember Brother Eric in prayer. He'll be having knee surgery tomorrow and be recuperating in the next couple of weeks. So we want to remember him in our prayers. Brother Danny Marangelo sends this request into the library. Please pray for comfort for Sister Lydia Collins.
Her husband Jack passed away yesterday, June the 2nd. Sister Lydia attended Brother Homer Blanken's church in Jonesville, Virginia. Sister Ruby Blanken called last night about it. Please pray for also his wife, Sister Barbara, fell, broke her nose and the dentures because of a brain bleed. It said she had to be flown, emergency. Also, it says Connie's sister, Pat, has lung problems, has to have oxygen. So just want to remember those needs before the Lord this morning. Brother Terry Horn asked us to pray for his son, Brad, just retired from the Air Force. Says he has two real urgent needs. They'd ask the church to help them pray about as a church body, just to pray and believe for him. So we certainly will remember your son, Brother Terry, this morning. Also, want to remember Levi Lunsford, very sick this morning. Want to remember him in prayer. Also, Brother Joel Moyer turns in a request to please continue to remember them in prayer for the custody of their children. It says also, please remember him about a job situation. So we know the Lord's mindful of that need this morning. Also, please pray for Diane Beacon and her daughter Wendy. As lady, Sister Janet Payne says the lady that she works for had a stroke, lost her husband, says she had a house fire Saturday and had to leave her home, said they found her in her wheelchair out on the highway. So we certainly want to remember that lady this morning in our prayers. Amen. I know that certainly is a disgruntled feeling when you lose your home and all your belongings, so let's remember them in prayer. Also, Sister Trina Bentley turns in a request for her grandbaby, Anna. Says sick, running a fever, needs God's healing. And says thank you for that. Amen. Also, want to please pray for Sister Donna Pistole. Fell, going to the doctor in the morning. Also, pray for Sister Estep. She's not able to get around, but wants to be in church. So let's certainly remember her this morning in our prayers. Amen. As we stand this morning, amen. How many has a need on your heart you'd like to signify by the uplifting of a hand? Amen. If nothing else this morning, just a closer walk with him would be our desire this morning. Amen. Brother Wade Otlin, would you come this morning? Take the request before the Lord for us. Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning. We thank you and praise you, Father, for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord Jesus. We just love you. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God. We invite your presence in this place this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for every lick of fire in here, Lord God. We come to meet the great pillar of fire, Lord Jesus. Father, these prayer requests that went forth, Lord God, as Brother Aaron read them, Father God, we know that there's nothing too hard for you, Lord Jesus. And we just give you the glory and honor for everything that's said and done in our lives, Lord God. We know that there's nothing too hard. Your arm is not too short to reach down and touch each and every one according to your perfect will and purpose in our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, we love you. We thank you for every one of our brothers and sisters with like precious faith in here, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our pastor, Lord God. We continue to keep him steadfast and unmovable, Lord God. And we thank you for the words of life that he's been bringing forth over this pulpit, Lord Jesus. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for everything that you're going to do in this service today, Lord God. Bless the musicians. Bless every song that's sung, Lord God. We love you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord another hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. He's worthy of it. Amen. Just make a couple announcements this morning. Just a reminder, there will be a household shower this evening, June 3rd at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall for Sister Allison, Brother Mark. Men and women are welcome. Amen. So we'll remember that this evening. Also, Brother Larry's CDs are available in the library. It's an instrumental CD. Amen. I know it'll be a blessing to you if you'd pick one up. Amen. Such an anointed CD for you. So just remember that. They're back in the library. You can see Brother Jim back there. Also, the restrooms and the ball courts are open at the pavilion, but the pavilion itself will be closed due to preparations for Bible school. The kitchen is also closed. So if you go over there this evening, just remember that the pavilion will be closed off, but the restrooms and courts are available. Amen. Amen. How many's glad to be here in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The brothers could come receive the offering this morning, the tithe and offering at this time. Amen. Let's just worship him with this song. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the
the name of the Lord, the Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, the Most High. Oh, and the name of the Lord is a strong tower, righteous running.
It's been on my heart a couple of days. I think we might have sung it a couple of weeks ago, but it's just been on my heart real heavy. I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard me pray. Amen. How many can say amen to that this morning?
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer. I just want to
when I was so down.
I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Listen to this verse again.
If I had a thousand lives to live,
amen. You feel that way this morning? This morning. Amen. Give our singers another hand this morning as you're seated.
Live in the sunshine. Oh, we'll understand it. Oh, by and by. When death
death has come and taken our loved ones. It leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Oh, Father, alone we know all about it. Father, alone we'll understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. Oh, I've already sung this, but I believe this one. Oh, when we see Jesus coming in glory, hallelujah. When he comes from my home in the sky, then we'll meet him in that bright light. Oh, we'll understand it all by and by. Oh, Father, alone we'll know about it. Amen. Father, alone we'll understand why. Cheer up my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. Understand it. Come on, we'll understand it. We'll understand it. Amen. We'll understand it. Oh, we'll understand it. Oh, we'll understand it. Oh, by and by.
I worship you. You are. Never make a promise that he's not big enough to keep. Praise the Lord. Do I understand that? Absolutely not. The devil ever tell you, Brother Donnie, God ain't real? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But what I always do is I use child psychology on him. So I just simply ask him this. So you, who are the devil, is telling me there is no God. So who made you? So there is no God, and yet you're telling me that there is no God. Use child psychology on him. That's all he is. And if he gets you, that speaks pretty less of you, because you're less than he is. Can I prove him scientifically? No, I really can't. I don't know anything about physics, and I couldn't do a physics test and prove that there's a God in heaven. But I know one thing. I know there has to be an almighty power somewhere who reads our heart like a book. every one of us, our needs and our desires, and God will send preachers in here and they preach your life just like I've been sitting down and talking to them and giving them notes. Who do you figure does that? The devil? Psychology. My goodness. He's so wonderful, isn't he? So wonderful. Let's read again today from the Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 2, verse 14. O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. I want you to notice now in verse 15, this is the bride, of course, as you know, speaking. She's the one who recognizes the potential danger of foxes in the relationship. It proves that she's grown and she's become more mature, and she's been able to acknowledge the danger of little foxes. Laodiceans don't pay any attention to little things. They look for bull elephants and they look for gigantic big old things. Little, oh, that's little, oh, that. What difference does it make how you dress? Oh, that's just a crazy preacher's idea. But you see, the bride pays attention to little things. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. I would like to be remembered today in prayer as we approach the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from where these bodies were taken, and we know if you tarry long enough, our bodies will go back that same course of life and death, the cycle that is inevitable. But we believe that there is a break in that cycle that we are hoping we are allowed to partake of, and that's called the rapture. Lord, we know to be a partaker of the rapture, we must be rapture quality, rapture material. There must be something about our lives that will match the lovely Lord Jesus, our precious bridegroom. So we ask you, Father, that you would help us today as we've come and we've heard such wonderful singing and praise and prayer requests and prayers have been offered. Now, Lord, we come to this portion of the service, which is the preaching and the hearing of your word. We ask you that you would help us. Help me that I can get out of the way, Lord, that you can be able to take this part of yourself, a gift, and be able to use it to your glory and honor. Help them, Lord, that they can get out of the way to be able to hear, that they won't hear through fears. They won't hear through complexes, and they won't hear through inferiorities and many of those things, but they'll be able to hear through the unction of the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Speak to us today in the name of the Word of God Himself, our blessed Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on little foxes. Little foxes can be sins of the heart that are often hidden from everyone but God. The amazing thing about little foxes, sins of the heart, can be that many times they are actually hidden from the person who has them. Now that's when it becomes so dangerous and so detrimental to that individual. Sometimes other people can see them and we cannot. Sometimes others cannot and we cannot. And the only one that can really see it is God Himself. Now that makes it difficult, because when we know we have issues and have problems and we're able to acknowledge them, then of course we approach Him and He's able to help us. But as long as we are viewing ourselves free from this or that or the other, and we hear it talked about, preached about, or whatever, then we think, that really doesn't apply to me. So here we go with the shovel and the pitchfork, you know. So we're throwing it here and throwing it to the guy in front of us, and our wife definitely needs it, and you know, this one, that one. Now that's whenever it's very difficult, because sins of the heart are those sins which can be there for a very long time. They can be covered with so many, many things. Even as the scripture tells us that the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? And only God has the ability to be able to look. I'm not talking about now them thumping muscles in your chest, but I'm talking about your heart, your soul. The cardia is the word, of course, the Greek word, where we get cardiac and all that sort of thing from. But it's not just the muscle inside of your body. But whenever we are able, by the grace of God, to acknowledge and see things that maybe have been previously hidden to our understanding of ourselves, then it makes a way that God is able to deal with us. Now, I'd like to look at a few more of these this morning, if it'd be all right with you. And I've made a list of a few things that I'd like to just read to you and just share with you. These hidden things of the heart that can be so, so devastating. These sins like pride, jealousy, self-seeking, criticism, wanting my rights, gossip, judging others, harshness, impatience, ingratitude, self-pity, hypocrisy, mistrust, superiority, inferiority, worry, and 3,895,000 more that I didn't write down. So where should I start this morning? Now remember, this does not mean that you're not a believer and that you're not a Christian because these things trouble you. It means you're a human. It means you're left in this old pest house. And it means that we need a body change. We don't need just to be took back to young people. We need this thing changed. If the Lord changed every one of us here this morning back to 18 or 20 years old, heaven would be an awful place in 6 weeks. Because what we are now would be made manifest in the streets of gold. I've dealt with it enough in mortality. I sure don't want it in immortality. So we don't need to be changed just back to young people. But we need these bodies which are still affected by these little foxes to be changed forever into the image of the Son of God. Now, the way these little foxes, as we looked at it last night, are able to affect the walk of a child of God is that they aim at eating the green new shoots that would come up on the vines. They would also begin to gnaw around the bottom of the vine. And if they gnaw deep enough and long enough, they can kill the vine itself, no matter how long it's been a Christian. I mean, no matter how long it's been in the ground. And its age, its seniority, its stripes, all of that sort of thing doesn't really matter, because a little fox can absolutely destroy it. It will attack in different means and different ways, depending on its mood, depending on what's available, whether it will be the green shoots or the bark around it, or it will go toward the tender grapes, which is its preference. But it will also go toward more established grapes, older grapes, which have been on there for a while. So it will go according to what is available. And I'm sure that you're well enough aware of your own trials to know that many of your trials come the same way. Some of them will come on very sensitive issues, some of them on very immature things, and some days you'll be attacked by the very core of what you believe and what you stand for. Well, just be aware that it's the foxes that are attacking you and attacking you at different times and different levels. Now, the thing that you realize as well as I do is that little foxes never stay little. Now, there are a couple of subspecies of foxes that remain very, very small. That is the swift fox, which is, you know, a little bitty guy. And the kit fox is very small. The Kinnick fox is not a very big fox as well. But for the most part, all of them will grow from the time that they are born, and they come from little to mid-size, and then they will reach their size and maturity. An eastern fox, as I told you last night, becoming about 20 inches long, weigh 8 to 9 pounds. And yet, when we look at that spiritually, the little foxes in our lives, if we do not take care of them, they will get bigger and bigger. They will become more wise because they will study us and they will see what our weaknesses are and they will know how to better attack us the next time. But as we become more mature, truly by the grace of God, then we should have also a greater ability to be able to withstand these little foxes. But what they want to do is ultimately to eat on the fruit. The fruit of the Holy Ghost, the progeny of your new birth, of what God wants to produce out of your life. And if he cannot discourage you away from being saved or being a child of God, then he'll try to discourage you that you are a fruitless child of God. That you are a child of God that is not growing. You have no momentum about you. You're not really doing anything. As a matter of fact, you haven't grown any. And he'll tell you whatever time frame it is. 6 months or a year, 2 years or 3 years. So he will try to show to you that you're not a very productive child of God. And you'll look at your own life and you'll say, well, you know, in reality, it looks like that's exactly what it is. Because I've lost my temper and I've had this problem and this issue. So he's trying to talk you out of what God wants you to be. And most of the time, he will use our own mistakes and our shortcomings and our failures. And God knows we all give him plenty to work with. Praise the Lord. But there's only one thing that can happen to little foxes that will liberate you from them destroying your fellowship with God. You must kill them. Now, if a little fox was to rush in this building this morning, naturally, most people today would call me, a cruel, mean sort of a guy. Or the deacons, if they was to try to catch it, and inevitably they would have to throw a songbook at it or take their iPhone and hopefully they'd be able to hit it or pick up a chair. And if they hit the fox because it was running around everywhere and people were screaming, men included, standing up on the tops of the pews, and you know, somebody had to do a heroic deed, and Brother Jack or somebody in the back, or who knows, it might be a sister, and she took off her shoe and whack, killed that fox, and blood ran out of its mouth, and no doubt somebody would think that was a very cruel thing. And this is what you realize that Satan will try to get you to do when it comes to you going fox hunting in your life. He'll try to convince you that they're just little things anyway. And they really are not going to bother you. They're not going to have that much influence on your life. And are you a cruel person that you are going to kill this little fox? Yes. Yes. How many yes folks are with me today? Yes. So if we don't, they continue to grow in wit, in understanding, in slyness, in their ability to sneak in under the smallest place and the smallest hole. You've heard the saying of a fox in the hen house, haven't you? And you can be able to block the smallest hole and a dog will never go in. A coyote will never be able to go in. But it takes such concentration and studying in a hen house to be able to really look, because a fox being so small, anywhere they can get their head through, they can get their body through. Now, anywhere, think of it, how small. Now, the fox is very deceitful in the way that he would look. I don't know how many of you have ever seen a fox's skull and his skeleton, but it is very, very small. But yet it would look bushy, especially in the wintertime, whenever its hair is really long, and it may its hair may be, you know, 2 or 3 inches long, something like that, and it looks like a furball. But whenever you really would come down to the size of that fox, all of that hair will mash down very, very small. Any place he can put his head, he can be able to get through. And people will look at it. Oh, I never let that in my life. I've got this little hole over here in my prayer life. I realize I'm not reading the word like I should, and I'm really not going to church as I should. Well, I remember used to, I'd go 3 times a week, but I'm mature now, so I only really need to go once. And really, I could skip every now and then on that, and I really don't need to go. Well, you're more mature than the pastor is here at the church, because the pastor, the closer we get to the end time, the more I need to go. That is scripture. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that much more as you see the day approaching. So we can see by the natural types that these foxes can get in to very small places. And if they are not stopped, they will continue to grow, and they will make their burrow or their den real close. And then, whether it's a male or a female, they will seek out a mate. And they will raise little ones, and guess where they're going to raise them? In your vineyard. And then you all, before you only had one fox, and that one of course become with another and made it, and they produce out of that is 6 more. Then they go a little bit beyond that, and they become adults, and they have their own pups, and then you've got a dozen, and then you've got 18, and then you've got 24, and then you've got legion. So you can see how that it all would start from one little tiny fox that seemingly was so cute and so pretty. Now, may I name some of these foxes this morning? Let us look at the fox of self-centeredness. Now, I know that there's nobody here but me that battles this sort of thing. So the rest of the sermon will be preached against me today. And I'm sorry that you all have to be here to hear me preach on myself, but it just helps it go over better with an audience. Now, we know that the scripture sets forth after the fall of man. And the Bible declares and gives to us this terrible thing that man inherited after the fall in the Adamic race of being self-centered. And it is something in our flesh. It is something in our makeup. We inherited it from the fall, but yet some people have a mega dose of it. They really, really, everything in their life, it's about them. Whether they're married, whether they have children or don't have children, it's on the job, it's in church, and it's a terrible fox. Now, it may start out as a very tiny thing whenever they are small. And the first time that the parents really noticed it being in such display, their minds go back to the Elizabethan Walmart when this little boy was 2 years old. And they took him through the toy section. And they picked up this little John Deere tractor, or little whatever it was that he wanted. And they was just going to let him play with it for a minute or so. So he was there playing with it while they were getting the rest of their stuff. Then they take this toy and they're going to set it back because they really don't have any intention of buying it. He's got plenty of toys, or it's not really in their budget. So they notice this little child as the toy is taken from him. And he starts screaming and hollering and holds his breath. Oh my goodness. He's going into one of those tantrums, and they're standing there, both of them overwhelmed, because the father is a saint and the mother is a saint. And his mother is a saint, and her mother is a saint, unless you ask him. And then everybody in their family is saints, and they are just appalled by where this thing come from in this child. And then they go to reason with him. Now look, Junior, you know, we can't do this. Now little Wes, no, we just can't do this. Or little Harry, or little Terry, or little Donnie, or little whoever it was. And, you know, it doesn't fit in the budget. You don't need that. And then here it goes. And this is maybe the first time that it come out. Now if them parents are sensible parents, they realize they've got a big problem. They've got a major problem in this child. Now, they know they didn't teach the child this, or hopefully they didn't, but yet it was inbred in him by the nature that he received. Now, you know, they've got a great responsibility from this point on. What do they do about this in this child? Do they start catering to him so every time they go to Walmart to avoid this type of situation, then whatever he wants, they give it to him? Or do they try to apply some discipline and stay away from the toy section? Well, that'll work as long as he's in the buggy, but when he gets big enough where he can get out and walk, you're going to have to try a different strategy. Now, you know you cannot psychologically talk him out of this because it's inbred in him by nature. But Satan will try his best to work on that, and it will become greater because this is a great blemish and this child. Now, think of it. The child itself is totally innocent of trying to be this way, but it was inbred in him. Come from an uncle, a grandfather, who knows where it come from. But yet the child now, you know, you try to reason with the child. There's no reasoning. You try to talk to him. There's no talking. Well, if the parents then go to giving in to the child, well, they want peace and they think this is the way to do it. So they go to giving the child everything the child wants. God have mercy on a set of parents that would raise a boy in such a way. Do you realize you are raising some woman's future husband? God have mercy on that woman's all I can say. Or if it's a girl, the same way. God have mercy on a man that marries such a girl that's had everything she ever wanted all of her life. And we've got that kind of idiotic parents in the day that we're living in. Now, self-centeredness is a little fox which can be so small in size, but yet have such a tremendous impact on the life of the individual who has it, but also in the inner workings and the social status that that individual would have with other people, which naturally would be its family, it will be its close inner circle, the outer circle, also people that they work with, because our lives are not just our own. And of course, unless you live on an island somewhere and you're a hermit there, but I don't figure most of you are. So our lives are so working around other people. And a self-centered individual is going to affect not only themselves, but everybody that comes in contact. Now, this little fox, it will come in, it will go to eating and eroding things that is in this individual. Man, woman, boy, or girl, whatever it is. Some are able to identify it whenever they're very young, but it's amazing that some it doesn't kick in until they become older, which is, you know, it's hard for me to understand. But yet, I know that that's the way it is, that there are traits that actually will not be identified in its full maturity until people will reach their 20s or 30s or sometimes even 50s, and you see things in them that you never saw as a child. Then it leads me to believe that there is something that happened to that individual to where that they either allowed a fox to come into them and it began to manifest this, or it was always there and they kept it down because of conscience sake, and then they reach a spot to where they don't care no more and they're going to be whatever they are. Now, self-centeredness is a very destructive thing. Again, it is very small. It doesn't look like it's a very big thing. And compared, now, which would you think would be the greater sin? A person which would be entertaining a little fox of self-centeredness, or someone that would be entertaining a fox of murder? Or adultery? Fornication? What would most of you say? Well, you say, well, adultery is definitely worse. Fornication is definitely worse. Really? A person cannot commit adultery against their wife unless first it comes from the core of self-centeredness. Because if they really love their wife right or their husband right, they made those vows till death. And they love their spouse as they love themselves. But how can a person do those things is when self-centeredness arises above the commitment that they have made to God and made to their husband and or wife. Y'all going to preach with me or look at me? Now, you see, it is the danger of the me first attitude. Me first, me middle, me last. You get the story, don't you? In other words, me everything. Me first. I know,
this is not deep today. I realize it's not profound, and you're not going out here sailing on the clouds, and oh my, that was so profound, but you're going to know the truth. That's one thing for sure. Now, it is, you know, some would identify as, oh, it's just a weakness I've got, or it's just a little bit of pride, it's just a little bit of egotism that I have about myself. But it's not really that bad. It's not that big of a problem to be self-centered and to focus upon myself. Well, apparently, the Lord Jesus would disagree with that theology, because the Lord Jesus did not teach to us to enhance self-centeredness, but actually he taught us the opposite. So apparently this is a little fox which can do such devastating damage, not only on the one who has it, but those who are part of this individual's life. Me, mine, it's all about me, and you realize when you come to that type of an individual, they are very, very hard to deal with, and it'll take a miracle from God for them to ever be delivered from themselves. Because they don't think they've got an issue. Most people that's like that, they don't even realize how deep that they are in this thing, and there's all about them, but they hear it so much, they say it so much, they think it so much to them, it is as normal can be. Oh my. What other people do is always questionable. What they do is always right. When they're in the hospital, never enough people ever visit them. Never enough people shake their hand after church. Never enough people tell them how great they were when they sung. They never are bragged on enough. They're never lifted up enough. Oh, I see today, Jesus, it's going to be me and you in this service. After church, not near as many people talk to them as they talk to others. Nobody ever asks them out to lunch. The Gospel Herald many years ago printed a statement, how to be perfectly miserable. Among the list of 20 statements were the following. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Expect to be appreciated. Be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Never forget a service you may have rendered. Self-centeredness. So a person like this that has reached this state, and of course this is the advancement to where the little fox has grown up and become to the breeding age, and now with little pups and maybe got a sister with him and a brother, and now by this stage this individual is so wrapped up in this complex of themselves. Every day this is where they live, and they do not understand why people do not see how great they are. They are totally confused. No, I'm serious. They are totally confused that people do not understand their greatness. It upsets them mentally. It bothers them. It troubles them. And they think, don't you all realize who you're going to church with? Don't you all know who you are privileged to sit in the same building with today? Now, you know as well as I know that a person like that has no fruit on their grapes. They have no more green shoots. Their vine is probably bare as far up as the fox can reach. And the truth of it is they are a miserable human being. Why? There's only one person that should be exalted in our life, and it's the Lord Jesus. It's not us. And you know as well as I know that there are preachers that so focus in this very direction. There are singers, there are musicians, there are laity, there are deacons, there's all categories of people, all races, all colors, all creeds. That this type of thing so eats on their life, and they do not understand why people will never give them the opportunities that they deserve. They ought to be used more. If it's a preacher, I ought to be used more. Why in the world don't this and that and the other? I ought to sing more. I ought to this and that. You say, what in the world? I just don't understand. Don't they know how great I am? Well, if you were, that attitude hangs you around here. When I pick that up on a man who claims to be a preacher, you can mark this down. He won't stand here many times. Nor a singer, nor a musician, nor anybody else. I don't want my pulpit contaminated with such filth from hell. You see, a man who feels like he's called to preach and everything is about him, it's about him, it's about him, he is filthy. Preach, Brother Donnie. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, what's Jesus focusing on? Self-centeredness, this little fox. Then said Jesus unto his, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. I'll tell you what, you talking about a word in the Aramaic and the Greek that Jesus used whenever he captured this. Look at the meaning of this word. To affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. Do you understand? There are millions of Christians on this world that do not understand the first principle of denying themselves. It's that you, from your new birth, says to your selfish self, I don't know you. I don't know you. I have nothing to do with you. I don't even know who you are. Praise be to God. This is fox killing material. Oh, glory. To affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone, to forget oneself, lose sight of oneself and one's own interests. Now you know right off, we cannot do this by ourselves. We're not made humanly to think this way. We are made humanly to think about our interests, our desires, our feelings, our rights, our. You do believe what Jesus said? Amen. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me. Now you know our Lord does not require us to do anything he himself has not already done. How can he say this, Brother Skip? Because he's done it himself. Oh, but Brother Don, I have to give up so much. Really? Well, let's compare it to what he gave up, shall we? You give up smoking and you think you've give up something? Lung cancer, TB, spots on your liver? Boy, that's a big sacrifice, wasn't it? Oh, I give up drinking. I give up makeup. I give up this, that, and other. What about streets of gold and angels and heaven? People worshiping and adoring and magnifying you, angelic beings, and you come to a world where they curse you and laugh at you and ridicule you and crucify you. We ain't give up nothing, friends. Notice this. He says, let a man deny himself and take up. I've told you before, Jesus spoke more about your cross than he spoke about his own. Each of us have got a cross. And you know what? As much as we want to help one another, I can't bear yours and you can't bear mine. You can pray for me as I can pray for you, but my cross has my name on it. Notice in Mark chapter 8 verse 34, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny. Now the same word again with the same meaning, acknowledge I don't even know you. Your desires are not my desires. Your interests are not my interests. I know, friends, you're looking at me like I'm from another planet. You're wrong. I'm not from another planet. I'm from another world. I'm preaching bride material this morning. I'm talking about folks that's going to leave this world in a rapture. Oh, my. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Again, take up his cross and follow me. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once a month. At least on Easter. How often?
Daily.
And follow me. Notice the prophet pick up the same thought. Every believer that comes to Christ must come to the same cross of self-denial and die there with the Lamb, with His Lamb. Die out to his own thoughts. Die out to your own mental thinking. Just take what the Holy Spirit says in your heart, then live for Christ. Again, he says, to be a Christian is self-denial. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me daily. Amen. But the self-centered spirit on this little fox, what does it work on? Self-denial. What does it feed you? You've got your rights. You ought to do that. People ought to understand how you are. We're living in the age of acceptance. If you're a man and you want to marry a man, well, la-di-da. If you're a man and you want to love boys and marry boys, go ahead. If you're a man and want to marry a pizza, which someone did not long ago, go ahead. If you want to marry your dog, go ahead and marry your dog. That's the kind of age we're living in. Some of you said, that's crazy. I wonder how close some of us are to such stupidity. When we don't deny ourselves, this is what we wind up being. Laodiceans. Mama. Don't y'all think I need to go on a 3-week vacation somewhere and give y'all a break? You see, this fox works not only in our relationship with God, but it works on our relationship with other people as well. If you're married or if you're single or whoever you are. And it can create such a civil war in families and in churches. What causes church splits? Oh, sometimes you'll have a man that leaves the word and the people need to get away from that. But a lot of church splits have not been justifiable at all. A lot of men that have raised up under another preacher, and they were nothing but Absalom. That's all they were. They wanted to be a leader, and they would never become a leader because it wasn't called of God in the first place. Just somebody with a self-centeredness that wants to be something. And let me say it here today. Each one of us will have a great, great responsibility before God in how we deal with ourselves. Our motives, our objectives, everything that we do, the way that we treat our family, the way we treat the Word. How is it all going to be? Through self-crucifixion, self-denial, or self-exaltation? Oh my. You see, the more surrendered we become to the Lord Jesus, then the more we're able to deny ourselves. But Brother Donnie, you make it sound like I can't enjoy nothing. I never said that. You ever been drunk on the Holy Ghost? You ever got alone with God and start praying in your own language till you pray far enough till you break out into this language and then another one and then another one? You talking about having a time. Ain't no marijuana can ever do that. Amen. There ain't no LSD that can ever take you to a place like that where you are allowed to speak in angelic tongues and heavenly languages in the presence of God. Oh, but I've got to give up so much. Really? If the Lord tarries in a few weeks, I'll be 62 years old. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus when I was 12. How many cigarettes did you smoke? None. How many beers have you drunk? None. Gin, vodka, whiskey, none, none, none. How many affairs you had? None. How many girlfriends you have? My wife. She is my girlfriend. You've missed out on so much. Have I really? Have I really? So by me consecrating my life to God, And sitting alone and studying, and the Lord God revealed to me something to preach, and it seemed so odd and so strange. And me get up and hear it and preach it and hear the reverberation of that one thought around this entire world. That's something to me. That's something to me. And see lives changed by the power of God. Why would I want to give up that for cigarettes or alcohol? Watch Brother Branham in Enticing Spirits. He said, watch all that old selfishness. The way you've been talking to your wife, the way you've been talking to your husband, the way you've been talking to your neighbor, the way you've talked about people in the church. What is it? Selfishness. Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. Now listen, this is what he tells you to do. Lay it on the altar this morning. And the fire of God will come down and take it right away, and divine love will burn in its place. You see, divine love, the Spirit of God, the fire of God does not just come to burn your sin. It comes to burn in your heart. Notice again, he said, now let's speak for just a moment or two on some of these little doors. One of them is a door, a little door of selfishness. Oh, we find that so much in the professed Christian's heart. Selfish. It's for me and my group. As long as it's in my denomination, it's all right. Do you understand when Brother Branham was here, this spirit that was in the denominations is now in our message ranks? Oh, well, if you're not Seventh Thunder, if you're not Perugia, if you're not this, that, the other, if you're not tape only, if you're not this, that, don't you understand what it is? It's that same selfish denominational devil that has got right in our own ranks. You think it's going to stay out of our church? It's not a Baptist church or not my Presbyterian or my Pentecostal. If it's outside the assemblies or so forth, it's no good. Then you see, Christ can't have the rulership. All these preachers that are projecting this same attitude, Christ is not the ruler. Amen. Oh, but Brother Donnie, they hold me spellbound. I don't care how much they hold you spellbound. It's demons they're under, not the leadership of the Holy Ghost. If they are preaching a denominational thing and they are the head, you want to go to that? Go to it. But for me and my house, we're going to serve God. I'm not interested in some man being my Holy Ghost. I want my Holy Ghost to be my Holy Ghost. Then you see, Christ can't have the rulership. He can't be Lord. If He's Lord, He's ruler. And if you say, well, I like Him for doing a certain thing for me, but if I can't get much out of it, I'll go to a church if I'll make the people in the community think better of me. Well, you don't want to come here, that's for sure. But you won't open this little door. Well, what can I get out of it? What can I be benefited? Self-centeredness. What does it do for me? How does it benefit me and my family? So if I go to Happy Valley, what will I get out of it? Hide burnings, skin roastings, meat wagons regularly on the outside, emergency crews to bandage you up, and a ticket to the rapture. Listen to this, friends. You see what pride and selfishness does? It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. There will not be one person in the rapture that has selfishness and this type of pride in their heart. Do you understand? This will keep you out of the rapture. Amen. We're not playing, friends. This is not some words that I'm tossed together to try to, you know, get on your hide today. You think I enjoy preaching this way? This is so serious. This will keep us out of the rapture. Do you understand, sisters, that, and how can overcome? And Brother Ram talks about a woman, she starts to let her hair grow out. She goes to looking like a sister ought to look. And he said, if you're not careful, you get a little bit of pride in that. Isn't it amazing something that the word would change your life around, and you'd quit cutting your hair, and you'd start dressing like a woman ought to dress, and you start doing those things, and then Satan, what does he do? Then he will send in a little fox to that very product of the word and try to take your human pride, which is left, and cause your pride to be lifted up. I am attractive. I am pretty. What? The very work of God. Can't you see this is what the bride's addressing? The bride is looking at what God has done in her life, and she realizes these foxes are out for what he's done in me. You see what pride and selfishness does? It shuts you out from the kingdom of God. I wonder sometimes as we think, what will happen to this generation? Brother Terry, what would he say now? Can I go on a bit? Look at this in images of Christ. Look at this selfishness, how it works. Now remember, it's only the sick that demands attention, service. Just the sick. They demand attention. When you see a preacher, and may I not limit it to a preacher, but may I limit it to every church member that wants attention, I'm somebody. Just remember, there's a spiritual sick person. It makes no difference if it's a preacher, if it's a deacon, or if it's a wannabe preacher. They are spiritually sick. The fox has grown up and had pups. Well, praise the Lord. Oh my, I know folks don't like this, but you know what? It's the truth anyway. I'm somebody. Just remember, there's a spiritual sick person. They're needing attention. Now let's see the attention they need. They need the attention of the Spirit of God to give them something that'll take out of them that attitude out of them and heal them from their... Wow, you mean a person that is selfish like this is actually sick? They're running a selfish fever. And they got the hives and the heaves and the shakes and the quivers. And I'm so sick. I'm gonna leave church. I'm gonna quit church. I'm shaking. I'm quivering. Well, you are in bad shape, ain't you? What's the matter? I've got the selfish sickness. Brother, what is it? Brother Donnie, don't ever acknowledge me enough. My hand does that when he don't. I don't get to preach, and I don't get to sing, and he don't rub my head enough. Come here, I'll rub you till you're bald if you want me to. Then I'm going to cast that devil out of you once I get your bald head rubbed off. A person with that attitude is sick, and they need healing. But most of the ones I've dealt with, you can't help them. You know why? They don't know they're sick. They think you are. The fever has got them so far out, they hallucinate. And they think you're the problem. Oh, it's you. Because you can't recognize how great they are. How wonderful. How majestic. They are the superlative of the superlatives. You're just like all the rest of us. You're a dirt bag. It don't make no difference where your dirt's from, Arkansas or Tennessee. You're still a dirt bag. Oh, I'm from upstate New York. I don't care if you are from upstate New York. You're still a dirt bag. I say, well, you can understand it. You're a Brooklyn dirt bag. Do you understand? That's what got Satan kicked out of heaven? Pride. pride, self-centered. This is why God hates it, Harry. This got the devil kicked out of heaven. But it just nibbles. Brother Donnie's jealous of you. You're so gifted and so great. Oh, yeah. There's at least one person who sat here who thinks that. Well, let me just clear the record for you. There ain't a preacher in this world I'm jealous of. Real ones or wannabes. Person's got to have something you want for you're jealous. I want to be what God made me, not what God made Brother Tim. What God made Brother Mike Price or, you know, Brother Darrell Ward. They're all great men. I'll never compare to them. I just have to be what God made me. And you do too. But you see, a person that is so sick, what is it? It's all about them. Them. And if you don't promote them, then you've got a problem. You're right, I do. I've got a problem with this devil. Now I realize some of you don't know what I'm doing. You're wondering which way I'm going, but I'm shooting a shot across the bow this morning just to let somebody in this church know if need be, I will call your name. And I'm giving you a heads up and a warning. You better back off. Mm-hmm. Why? Self-centeredness is of the devil. Notice Brother M said there's a spiritual sick person. They're needing attention. They need the attention of the Spirit of God to give them something that'll take that attitude out of them and heal them from their selfishness. And big ideas and big me and little you. The Holy Ghost makes us all the same. Too much spiritual sickness. Well, some of you is quiet, now the rest of you scared to death, so. Watch this again and how it can overcome. Just remember, you're living for God. You have one objective, and that's Jesus Christ. Outside of that, nothing else counts. That's Him. Then secondly, for your family. Then thirdly, for yourself. But first, for God. Next, for your family. And next, for you. You're number three. That's the end of the road. Put yourself last. He did. Praise be to God. Put yourself last. He did. Let's look at another little guy this morning, shall we? This little fox called bitterness. Again, now he's small in size. He's very small. Surely he can't be too serious. He can't really be that damaging, can he? So how can bitterness come? Again, I wrote down some things I'd like to share with you. Maybe the way people treat us or someone unloaded on you. You ever feel like a city dump? I do. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you could hear some of the stuff I hear in here after I walk off of here, walk out of heavenly places and some of the absolute just trash and nonsense that I have to deal with back there, you wonder how I'm even sane. It's easy to become bitter over the way people treat us. It's easy to become bitter over hurts. And this little fox of bitterness will try his best to destroy your vine. Now, it won't destroy the person that is trying to come at the other person. This caused it. Most of the time, it's against the recipient. Notice in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root. Where the fox digs. So he takes his little paws and he goes to digging. Where? Roots. So bitterness can start out not as a tree. Now he's not an oak. He's not a great big walnut. He's not a gigantic cypress. But he starts out as a root. Where? Under the flesh. I mean, under the dirt. Any of y'all ever fought bitterness? We're glad to have the rest of you angels that are here today. May God bless you and your journey back to paradise. Lest any root of bitterness springing. You mean these roots grow? Springing up. Trouble you. Notice this in the Smyrnian church age, don't let no root of bitterness ever get into your soul. If you do, it'll canker you. Amen. Right? Keep love. I don't care how much people hate you. Love them anyhow. How many can say that's hard to do sometimes? Amen. 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 Everybody ought to have been screaming amen to that. Pergamian church age, hold no malice, no grudges. Don't let any bitterness, no matter how bad the person is and how bad they talk about you. But don't you ever think evil in your heart against them. Because right there, the devil will set right in. But you're the innocent one. You're the one that's been mistreated, and you're the one that's been talked about, and you're the one that's been, you know, whatever more. And yet, if you think bad in your heart, the devil will set in your heart. Well, you ought to go to the person that caused you the hurt. But that ain't always the way it works, is it? So he watches us in strains, and he watches us in difficulties when we're getting hurt and we're getting offended and let down and disappointed in people. You ever been disappointed in a hog? I mean, have you ever just felt like committing suicide because a dog barked at you? Oh, God, I'm killing myself. Some cat meowed. What is it that causes our heartaches, our troubles? Humans. Humans. Brothers, sisters, sometimes family. Come on, saints. People that you thought so much of, and they can take your heart in their hands and squeeze it till there's nothing left. And then when you get back to yourself, you go to thinking about it. Why did she do that? What made him do that to me?
Better be careful.
But Brother Donnie, it's hard. Tell me about it. One of these days when we get to heaven, God no doubt will let you folks see a little bit of what I've been through. Brother Jim, you know a lot, but you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing, Happy Valley. Y'all want to see miracles? Every day you see me stand up and preach, you see one. I've been talked about, run down, treated like dirt by preachers. But it's beneath me to have bitterness. I ain't doing it, Brother Aaron. No, sir. But it's hard. I know it's hard. I'm not preaching about what I'm reading. I'm preaching about where I've lived. Amen. Oh, you say, but I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. With the power of God in you, get out your shotgun and kill that fox. Don't you never think evil in your heart against him, because right there the devil will set in, work up something right there, and keep it all covered up with godly love, confession, making it right, and do to those who do evil to you. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why, Jesus said, don't the publicans do the same? The sinners and anybody can be good to those that are good to them. Y'all ready? But be good to those who are not good to you. Do something for those that would do nothing for you. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you. And that way, you'll keep all bitterness out of your heart. God's not going to make you answer for them other people, no how. So you mean to tell me somebody hurts me? Brother Horn, I use you a lot. You got big shoulders. So Brother Horn does something and hurts me and just horrible. Brother Donnie, I had a dream about you smoking. I want to come up to the house and search the house, see if you were really smoking. I'll tell you. Now this is just makeup, okay? I'm thinking, Brother Terry, my goodness, buddy, and I've been around you long enough. Well, I'll tell you, Brother Donnie, that dream was just so real. I just felt like you was smoking. Me and Sister Alice just come up here, and we got a search warrant for the house. We're going from the top to the bottom. This happens this evening after church. And Wednesday night, Brother Horn's sitting right there smiling like he is tonight. Now, I've got to get up here and preach to Brother Horn Wednesday night. Now, you tell me what you think I would want to preach.
Long-tongued, nosy people come to your house. Aggravating people that try to nose around into everybody's business.
And then the next time I see Brother Horn, he senses a little coolness between us. I can fake a smile. Most of us can. We're actors. Come on, you Pharisees, don't frown at me. But he knows it's never the same again. Why? Now he's feeling a real coldness and a real oddness. Praise the Lord. Now what he done may not have been right. But what I'm doing is not right either. Because now it's working on me. And guess what? You're going to suffer. Because I'm going to let that bitterness get in my heart. It won't just stay between me and Brother Horn. It'll outgrow beyond that little garden area. And then I might get bitter towards you or towards you or towards you. I don't want this in my heart, do you? I don't want nothing like this. I'll tell you what the thing we need to do. Let's grab out our shotgun. Let's go fox hunting this morning. Somebody done something against you and they've tore your heart out of you. Oh, Brother Don, I feel like killing somebody. Don't kill them. You better watch that fox. They asked Billy Graham's wife years ago for all the different things she'd been through in his ministry. She'd ever felt like divorce. And she said no. She had considered murder. This seems foolish, really. So the prophet is giving us the equation, Brother Joel, of how to keep bitterness out of our heart. It don't even make sense here, humanly speaking. Speak a good word for the man that would speak evil against you, and that way you keep all the bitterness out of your heart. But what do most of us do? We tell other people what that person said. Or we get on Facebook like a bunch of idiots. Brother Donnie, it's not polite to say that word. Oh, but I found it in the message the other day, so it is polite. Come on, saints. Do you know what you've done? You get on Facebook and post that. You go out and tell somebody else and somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. You are pouring the dirt and the fertilizer around your own heart for that root to explode. And you ain't even got the other person to blame. You got to blame yourself. Let me read another quote or two and I'll let you go and everybody can try to be happy the rest of the evening. Notice how 10 virgins, don't never let anything rise up and put bitterness in your soul. No matter how bad anyone ever treats you. Friends, do you understand the contents of what this man is saying? This could contain somebody killing your husband or wife. This could contain somebody molesting one of your children. It could be to such depths it would devastate you. Is this man saying foolish remarks which can never be lived? No. He's preaching a Christ life. a bride life. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it can be done. Don't you see what makes you different? The new person. It enables us, Brother Dale, to be able to forgive those that have caused us so much pain. Lord God. No matter how bad anyone ever treats you or anything, don't be guilty of letting that anchor in your soul. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit away from you. See, always keep all roots of bitterness out of you, no matter what anyone does to you. Just have God in there, and that'll keep all evil away from you. Christ the mystery. If the brother you think is a little wrong, or a sister, say, Lord, don't never let me have the root of bitterness spring up, because it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ. Now, we're not talking about the fox of drinking, or the fox of drugs, or the fox of marijuana. We're talking about bitterness. Bitterness can take Jesus out of your life. Lord God, that poison acids of malice and jealousy and hatred. Poison acids. Y'all know what acid is. Battery acid, hydrochloric acid, all kinds of acids that we're familiar with. They can eat skin right off of your body. They can eat paint off of your car. They can do all kinds of things. Now here he likens malice and all this to acids. What are they going to do? They're trying to eat something. Steal your joy, steal your peace, steal your happiness. It will take the Holy Spirit right away from you. The very thing you need to help you live this Christian life. And these acids will leach him right out of your life. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away from here. Hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't do that. The little fox grows and its progeny multiplies and becomes so powerful in a person's life. All it takes is one. One person full of bitterness in a church, and they go to meandering among the congregation. Go to talking and spreading their lies and this and that and the other. And the bitterness just ekes out of them. It always amazes me how saints will listen to such a person. I've never understood how saints will listen to a person so full of poison. Let's stand together. Now, some of you that were here last night, you heard the story of the man of Gadara, and you probably thought, that's not me. That don't apply to me. You should have known just because God gave you a night off. Didn't mean he wasn't going to have your number today. Oh, you could have sat there and cried with me as I cried and got all broke up preaching about him. But in reality, that story didn't apply to me. I'm not that kind of man. But today was where I live. I don't live in Gadara, I live in Donnyville. Just face the facts. You live in Yorville. You're a burrow, whatever you want to call it. That's where you face, and that's where you fail. Most of us don't fail in Gadara. We ain't going to be in Gadara. But we fail in our own residence. Brother Donnie, what, this seems impossible. I know it. That's why I want to preach it that way. I want to preach it so impossible that each of us will realize there is no way under heaven we can ever do this. And then when we get past our ability, we will have to say, Lord God, we cannot do this by ourselves. Brother Donnie, how can you do this? I'll tell you how I do it. I do it by the Lord Jesus and His grace. I was in a place some years ago, going to preach for a preacher. He come out before service, was setting up some equipment, jumped all over me. Said, you preached so-and-so and so, and you said so-and-so and so, and you was talking about me. I said, I never said no such a thing. Don't you tell me you didn't say it. I've got the tape. I said, you produce the tape and I'll apologize. The Yonts brothers was with me. Brother Eric Johnson was with me. So we left. They wanted a little coffee or a little something. I was looking for a gun myself. I mean, no. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. I don't know. So we went back close to church time. The deacon sent me to the preacher's office. He's still mad on a hornet. What are you going to do, Tommy Reagan? I said, well, I ain't preaching. I said, because no matter what I say this day, you'll pick it to death. I don't care what I preach. I said, so your church, it's up to you. So he gets up and tells the people, I've got a bad throat. Brother Eric and I was flying home the next day. Brother Eric said, Brother Donnie, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. How did you do that yesterday? I reached underneath the seat in front of me. I wasn't pulling out an emergency vest. I pulled out my briefcase, and there was a quote taped on the inside of my briefcase. Brothers, you want power. You want to know how to overcome. When you run down, ridicule, so on and so on and so on. He said, here's the man who can stand. Don't try to defend yourself. I said, Brother Eric, this is my policy right here. This is the way I live. You want to follow your own selfish thing and justify yourself and get back at people all the time? If that's the way you want to show people your quote, I'll tell you where it's going to take you. Hell. To me, we can follow this quote in our lives and die. Is it easy? He never said it would be easy. Does it get any easier along the way, Brother Donnie? Well, I don't know. I can't really say it has for me. You still fight the same old thing. You still fight the same old thing of trying to justify yourself. But God gives you strength. And after all, that's what we want, isn't it? So when I stand there that day and He'll say, you overcome this and you overcome that and you did this and you did that. And I'll have to stand there and say, I didn't do any of that. It was you. It was you through me. Carol was with me a few years ago and I was in another state. I was supposed to start preaching on a certain night. They called me and said, hey, we're having church. And I said, I didn't know I was preaching. Oh, no, you're not preaching. Okay, but church will start a certain time. So I went to the church, pulled me back in the office for church, several preachers there, all had a Donnie Reagan bang-up time. Then they called this preacher out to preach. Set me right on the pulpit where everybody could see me. He might as well took his text from Donnie 1 and 2 and 22 and 32 and 42. He fried me from the time he began till he stopped. Church was over. We got in the car, rented a car, went out and sat in the car, and Carol grabbed my hand. She said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know what Donnie wanted to do? But what do you think Donnie did? There's some folks sitting right here today, that was there at the meeting. They didn't know what was going on. Still don't know. God helped me to get out of the way. Oh, but you're a preacher. No, it's not always the preacher part. It's being a consecrated Christian. How many of you have been so, oh my goodness, you just thought in your mind, I'll do so. And all of a sudden, something just come over you and help you to do what's right. This ain't just for preachers. It's for all of us. How many wants it? Wants it in a greater way. I've seen it in my life, Brother Terry, but I don't want that just to be my past record. I want it to be my present record and my future record. I want Jesus to live through me. And if I come through greater trials than that, may He help me. May He help me. May He help you. May He help all of us. I figured the best way to kill that fox was right there from the pulpit. Don't kill the preacher. We still needed him. He was a brother. You say you called him a brother? Absolutely. I don't have serpent seed glasses where I'm able to look and say, oh, serpent seed, seed of God, serpent seed. If you got them, break yours because it's probably wrong. I'd rather give them mercy. I'd rather be found of giving them mercy, see if God can reach them. Friends, I'm telling you these personal examples to show you I'm not preaching something to you I have not been through myself. Will it keep you? Will it help you? Yes. And there's many more I could tell you, but I'm going to spare you. But let me tell you this. I have never regretted one time ever following that procedure. Because to me, I see it as the way of my Lord Jesus. Brother Jim, I've accepted it a long time ago. It's part of my cross. I want to bear it well. Let's bow our heads, if you would. Praise be to God. I wonder from the front to the back, to the upstairs nurseries, to the sound room upstairs, on the internet, wherever you are in different parts of the world, may the Spirit of God search each of us today. We can begin to look in our lives and see what little foxes Satan sends your way. Don't think you can string up a woven wire saying, well, I believe the message, that'll never keep him out. Don't think you can throw up a woven wire type of thing, well, God sent a prophet, that'll never keep him out. You're going to have your life so sealed by the Holy Ghost that every crack and every crevice. And then at his best, he'll try to crawl under the wall, around the wall, over the wall, to find a way to get to you. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord? If you ain't got nobody to pray for, would you please pray for me? You mean preachers need prayer? If there's anybody that needs prayer, it's preachers. We're going to pray together. And I want you to just hold your request in your heart. And just pray for the brother and sister standing around you. Pray for our church as a whole. Pray for the ministry around the world, the believers, saints of God around the world. That God will help each of us. That we can live this work. You do believe this is true, right? And you do believe this is required of us of the rapture. Then this is very serious, is it not? It's very serious. Let's pray together. Heavenly Fathers, I come to the close of this service, I close with a heavy heart. Lord, you know, it just about kills me to have to preach hard. It just tears me to pieces. But Lord, I know that truth is what will make us free. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd move in every heart. Begin with me, Lord. If there's any foxes, little or big, Lord God, that I tolerate, that I allow to come into my vineyard, show me, Lord God. You know me. You know I love you. I could say those words and be from a mouth of a hypocrite, but you know me. I thank you for the walk I have with you. I treasure it, Lord God. There isn't a week goes by, and sometimes days in a row, that you speak to me. And Lord, what I appreciate about
the voice of God that comes to me? Is it, it isn't telling me how great I am and how wonderful I am and how super that I am. But most of the time, it's always for the benefit of your children. Preach this, and tell them that. Pray for this brother, he's got a need. That's what lets me know it's the Spirit of Christ. Any spirit that come to me bragging on me and telling me how great I was and how far beyond above brothers I was, I'd know right then it was a lying devil out of hell. I pray you'd help each of us here today, Lord. We've got some real gifted folks here in our church. We've got some gifted speakers, gifted singers, gifted musicians. We got a real library staff, Sunday school teachers. We have some wonderful people, gifted people. But Lord God, help us that we'll never get to a place to where we say we're so gifted. Help us, Father, that we'll never look around and say, wow, we got so many people in our church, hundreds of people. Hundreds stream our services. All the ministry of the church reaches around the world. And we'd look down upon the little brother that has 12 or 15 in his assembly. Maybe they struggle for musicians. Really nobody in the church can sing very well, but they do it with all of their heart. Help us that we'd never look down our noses and think we're so great. Lord, as I stood last week this time in Brooklyn, New York, and preached to about 30 people or so. But your same presence that was here this morning among these hundreds times hundreds was right there. Lord God, I saw the beautiful structures in New York City and all the things that man has made. But you heard what I said, and you know that I meant it when I stood before that little group of people and I said, I've seen many structures and many things. But to me, what I've seen so far in New York, you saints are the most beautiful, wonderful thing that I've seen. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Give us a keen eye for foxes. They're sly. They're cunning. They're quiet. Probably most of these people here has never even heard one make a noise. If they heard it, they wouldn't know what it was. Spiritually, it's the same way. Lord God, help us. Enlighten us, Heavenly Father. Begin with us men, sisters, young people, all of us. We love you, Father. We don't think you'd send this word to us without somebody going to benefit by it. And I want to make my confession today. I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be one of them by the grace of God. You know what future battles lay in front of me, lay in front of us as an assembly, lay in front of these individuals, husbands, wives, children. Lord God, we know you'll give us grace and strength. Help us, Father, to never become bitter. Help us, Lord, never to become self-centered, that everything in the church has to focus around us and they don't listen to me and I don't like the heat and I don't like this and I don't like that. Help us, Lord, to realize that's a little old fox. It's just nibbling around on our green shoots to try to get us to that place of self-centeredness. Help us to die, Lord. Help us, I pray, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Would you turn around and shake hands on somebody and just say this to them? Brother, sister, would you remember me when you pray? Would you remember me? Brother Terry, will you remember me? Brother Jim, Brother Joel, Brother Wes, Brother Fred? You young brothers, you remember me when you pray? Brother Dow, you young sisters, will you remember me when you pray? You on the internet, will you remember me when you pray? I don't want my life to be crowned with bitterness, self-centeredness. I want my life to be crowned with the glory of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We realize as we get older and things bother us more than when we were younger, it's just our age, I guess. We get weary of things of life and difficult. But friends, the journey, its end, is nearer than when we first believed. That's not just a story from an old preacher. I believe the signs of the time declare that to us. We're closer now, Brother Rob, than when we first believed. You love the Lord Jesus with all your heart. You want Him to give you wisdom and strength in your life. Oh, be as the bride today. I am my beloved's and He is mine. Take us the foxes. As I read to you the meaning of the word take last night, it means capture. Be able to get them out. And she recognized the danger. I hope after this weekend that you have been able to recognize more dangers around your life. Amen. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's worship the Lord together just a little bit before we go. It's been a good weekend. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Glad to have the visitors that was with us with for the sake of the wedding that was here this weekend. Sorry y'all had to get a beating here with the local church. Hopefully you can make it home. If you can't, just call 911 on your way back home and they'll come out and assist you on the way. Amen. God bless you, saints. Amen. You love the Lord. You love each other. And we want to be together. Let's sing together as a little something and we'll go. I'll let you go eat your dinner and grab your bandages out. I guess y'all getting where you just pack them in the car now, don't you? This will be one of the few churches in the rapture when everybody which leaves here looks like Egyptian mummies. But thank God we... At least we'll be in. Praise God. Praise God.
There's a voice calling me.
Yes, Lord.
From an old rugged tree.
Yes, Lord.
It whispers, draw closer to me. This world far behind, there are new heights to climb and a new place in me you will find, and whatever to you, Lord. Oh, that's why I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what.
Since Brother Daniel had that episode in the hospital, he's got this trachea in his throat. They're going to Vanderbilt tomorrow in Nashville to see a specialist and see if they can be able to reverse this. Without this in his throat, Brother Daniel can't talk. How many believe God can move from that? Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, you see the need, Brother Daniel's body today, Lord. Lord, it's not that we're not ungrateful. Because, Lord, I know when that doctor walked into his room and saw his situation, and the doctor gave him only a few minutes to make up their mind what they wanted to do, or Brother Daniel would have died because he couldn't breathe. And the doctor was able to see it. I believe you sent that man in the room that day, Lord God. And we thank you for him coming in. But Lord Jesus, we're asking for your mercy, Lord.
Yes,
that they'd be able to reverse this from Brother Daniel's body.
Yes,
Lord Jesus, we lay our hands on him, and as a body, a church, we agree together. Father, you see this person that he's going to see. I pray that you would help him.
Amen.
Help him, Lord. Anoint him, I pray, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, move for Brother Daniel, Lord. We love him, Sister Linda, and appreciate him so much, Father. I pray, dear God, that you'd move for him, Heavenly Father. We're believing you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Move on behalf of our brother. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For whatever it takes to draw closer. that's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Every day.
Jesus.
Cause I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. Well, I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. The same. The narrow way is a straight way. It don't have no crooks or bends. I gotta go on with my Jesus. Church, He is my best friend. When the enemy's all around me, tears fill my eyes. I bow down on my bending knees and I rise up with a smile. I say I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. Jesus, just the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with my Jesus, just the same. Somebody may laugh, talk about me when I shout, but this is one thing for sure, I know what I'm shouting about. When old Satan tries to stop me, put stumbling blocks in my way, stand up, fold my arms, and this is what I say. I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. I said I'm the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with my Jesus just the same.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for another privilege this weekend where we could come together. May we take what we've heard, apply it to our lives, be a better people, Lord. Go with us now. Watch over your people, I pray, Father. Keep us by your grace. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. We'll be gathering here Wednesday night, Lord willing, at 7 o'clock for further fox hunting instructions. Well, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. I'm going on with Jesus just the same.
False accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with Jesus just the same. Somebody may laugh, talk about me when I shout, but this is one thing for sure, I know what I'm shouting about. Oh, Satan tries to stop me, put a stumbling block in my way. I stand up and fold my arms and say, this is what I say. I say I'm going on with Jesus just the same. Yes, I'm going on with Jesus just the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with Jesus just the same. I said I'm going on with Jesus just the same. I'm going on with my Jesus just the same. You can false accuse me, scandalize my name, but I'm going on with Jesus just the same. The narrow way is a straight way. It don't have no crooks or bends. I gotta go on with Jesus. I know he's my best friend. When the enemy's all around me, tears fill my eyes. I bow down on my bending knees and I rise up with a smile. Say, I'm going on with Jesus just the same.